Before you shoot your computer, give Benjamin Rockwell a call. Helping you gain the upper hand with your computer, here is Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
There's a ton in store for us this week here on Computer Talk Radio. Marty is going to dive into trigonometry for solving problems. No, we're not going to actually make you learn math, but we'll talk about it. Steve Geske, he's going to cover the idea that AI cannot do comedy or music. Keith McCidor, purchasing a used Mac instead of a new one for budget purposes. And he makes a good argument for this. On the scam series, poorly written alleged PayPal email shows some things to watch for, and I'm going to detail those all out. I'm going to also talk to you about dealing with business in the coming surge in AI needs. And this is very personal for all of us. I'm going to give you tips and tricks to stay safe during the holiday season. And there's a number of questions. Michael wants to know how to enhance the gaming performance on his PC. Isabel wants to know about women who made technology great in the past. And Kenneth, he's starting a home business and he wants to know how to set up his office. All of that is available on the podcast. If you miss any of those items, at computertalkradio.com. Again, computertalkradio.com. And the phone number, if you've got questions, you can ask them on the website, but you can also phone me. It's 888-NERD, 888. That's 888-6373-888. Now, we are here at the Thanksgiving holiday season, the holiday season overall, but the Thanksgiving holiday, and I will tell you, every year I struggle to come up with news items because everybody's just stuffed full of turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and everything else. So I'm going to answer a listener question instead. We'll catch up with whatever news items that did come up. I've got a couple of them here, but it was slim pickings. So let's answer Richard's question. Richard says technology is advancing, but on the show, you regularly seem to balance the ethical and legal challenges, the scruples, all of that, just as much as new tech. What are the bumps coming at us in the future on this front? All right, so as we move forward, as we march forward in this kind of a battle, because some of this, we're resistant to technology at times, but there is a double-edged sword that's involved here, cutting through the various barriers and opening new vistas. And along the way, we're going to see society presented with many versions of Pandora's box, which all give us a variety of challenges. A recurring theme, yes, here on Computer Talk Radio, is that technology is a powerful, versatile tool that can be misused in the wrong hands. Because of this, everybody needs to think about all of those complexities that demand careful consideration and effective responses. I'm going to highlight what I think are some of the biggest concerns, morally, ethically, legally, that loom ahead of us in this future. For starter, and I wouldn't have said this a number of years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, but materialism seems to really be driving up towards the front here. Apple. Apple computers, they are such a big driver here. But the trickle down for this is everywhere. You and I have this drive, that we're being told we have to have the latest iPhone. We have to have the latest tech in our cars, the latest TVs, the latest everything in our lives. And we keep chasing after so many of these things. And both personally, but collectively, with the companies and everywhere else, we aren't thinking about the impact of all of the waste that comes along here, and also of all of the attention to things that don't really matter, and so much more. I mean, this is Thanksgiving right now. You've already spent some time with family, and hopefully it was good family interactions that are so much more valuable than having the latest iPhone, which admittedly doesn't have a whole lot of new features with the latest version of iOS. The big bulk of Apple Intelligence isn't even scheduled to arrive until sometime in late winter, early spring. So I look at this and I see that too many manufacturers, they're focusing on things that we don't need and pushing us to keep up with the Joneses. And is that truly ethical? Is that drive for more revenue right now really what they should be focusing on instead of delivering better experiences for us? Yeah, I'm not sure on that one, but it's becoming a growing concern for me. There's the increasing data privacy concerns, and technology is so deeply integrated into our lives, and the collection of and the use of our data, our information, and everything about us is really starting to raise some significant concerns about my privacy, about your privacy, and the potential for misuse by both corporations. But let's even leave aside that. What about the government? We're getting to a point where a lot of the different manufacturers are starting to deal with the government on a friendly basis. Oh, you want access to our information? Sure, here it goes. And those barriers are starting to come down. The whole drive and direction that we're going in regards to our data, everything about us, we're being folded, spindled, and mutilated and processed in so many different ways that we don't even know about. The ones we do know about are scary. And even moving beyond that, let's dive further into data. And there's a growing reliance on algorithms. Some of that is coming from these various algorithms that have been around for a while. Think Netflix and Google's ad serving and things like that, and Facebook as well involved with that. But there's AI is coming along, and there's a lot of these different decision-making processes that are being put into place. And are they ensuring fairness? Are they avoiding bias? And that is something that is crucial to prevent discrimination, to prevent inequalities that are coming along. And this is where we're moving in a direction where we have the technology haves and the technology have nots. And we can wind up being discriminated against if we're not up to date with the materialism which I just referenced. So that's very concerning. Additionally, As technology advances, so do the various cyber threats that are out there. We have moved to a level where cybersecurity measures and international cooperation to safeguard critical infrastructure and digital assets are so far behind. It's not even funny. And we need to be focused on that particular legal front. We need to be pursuing the hackers and the bad guys that are out there. And we need to be tackling this on a far more aggressive basis than we have in a number of years. Of course, we've got other issues too. The development of self-driving vehicles, quote-unquote autonomous. We've got the AI-powered healthcare system. Everybody's building in AI. So all of this autonomous technology is going to require us to step back, and really reevaluate a lot of the different liability frameworks that are in place in case of accidents or failures or invasions of our privacy and all of that. So a lot of this, as you can see, is all linked into each other. We're starting to see a legal fight in regards to intellectual property and innovation, and all of these different advancements in technology can lead to so many different new creations and inventions. But there are so many people who are coming along and saying, well, actually, we own that because you utilized a little bit of our pictures, a little bit of our this, that, or the other thing, and then you can't even defend against that. So there's all kinds of different approaches that are going to be needed in the coming years to protect the rights of creators. Look, all of these challenges will require a collaborative effort that's going to involve you and I, but the government, industry leaders, academics, civil society as a whole, and policymakers need to be thinking about a balance between innovation and protecting the rights of the individual. And I don't know that we've seen that. And I don't know that we're going to see that if we don't start insisting on it now. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. Kenneth asks me a question about starting up a home business and actually setting up a home office next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off. You take really good care of your listeners.
Kenneth reached out with the question, I'm going to start a home business and start working from home. What are the items that are a must-have in my home office? I'll get to the answer here in just a moment, but the website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. Kenneth's question, first off, great on starting your own business. This is something that is a venture that is going to be a learning experience for you. There's going to be a lot of stuff out there. And I'm hoping that you're going to do a couple of things, like find people who are going to support you, mentors, business partners, and things like that, that are going to keep you really up to speed. You need to make sure you've got people who you can rely on to ask questions, to just listen to you as well. But your question, Kenneth, was not so much about that as the tech side of it. And we went through a number of different things in our emails back and forth. And I'm going to give a number of items here. And this really applies for anybody working from home. Anybody who has a small office, home office kind of thing, S-O-H-O, anybody who... Even if you're in an office itself, you're in some kind of workspace, you're in a small retail space, whatever it is, you need to have a lot of the same things all the way through. Even if you're working from home and you're working for a corporation and they're providing some of these things, they're not going to provide you everything. So first off, I want you to think about the workspace itself. This isn't so much tech yet, but I'll get to that. A solid desk and an ergonomic chair. Look, comfort is king. You need a space that is going to support long hours without turning your back in your neck into knots. You want to make sure that you are comfortable there. And I will tell you, I have from Top Secret Labs, I have their chair. I've used this now for right about 4 years, and it's holding strong. I used to go through a chair about once every year or two. This thing is so comfortable. And, okay, yeah, I do replace the arm pads because I have a tendency to be very hard on arm pads. But that's it. And that's a small expense in this. The desks that I have in my office, they are What is this? It's Seville Classics, I think, is the brand on this. And I paid good money for these. These are solid, nice wood desks, like a butcher block with a polyurethane coating on them, metal supports. It's not like for a while there, I was working with, you know, those big, huge, those foldable tables. And they work, but you really want to make a home for yourself. And part of what I'm going to get into is personal touches in a few minutes. But that added a different layer of professionalism and comfort and just solid feel to, yes, I'm settling in to my office for a number of hours of work. Next up, we're going to talk tech, reliable tech. You need to have a good, fast computer. You need to make sure that you have pretty much, you don't need to go overkill. I'm going to say, depending on what you're getting into, if you're getting into the Windows world, you want something that's going to be about $1,500, maybe a little bit more. If you're in the Apple world, throw another $500 or $700 on top of that. So we'll say maybe $2,200. And, you know, that's going to vary depending on what you get and what kind of computing power that you need. You need to make sure you've got good Wi-Fi or wired connectivity. You need to have good internet speeds. Do not think you're going to be doing any kind of business work from home if you don't have a good amount of speed to your internet. So make sure you're getting a good plan. Look around, see if there's other options. For instance, where I'm at, I've got two different cable companies and a fiber company that I can get internet through. I went with the fiber company because that just worked out for me. That high-speed internet is going to help you with your business. Next up, a good quality headset. And I've gone through a few different ones. I don't have a particular favorite, but you want to spend probably about $150 or so on a headset with a microphone. Make sure it's slimline, probably Bluetooth. Doing it with a gaming system isn't all that great. If you're on the phone a lot, more of a reason to go to Bluetooth. Try to avoid like earbuds, you know, the ear pods and stuff like that. Get something that has that nice quality boom microphone. If you don't want to go in that direction, you want to be free from that, perhaps the Blue Yeti microphone that comes from Logitech, which is a great sounding microphone. Your voice, everybody's voice is important, and you don't want it all thready and just distant. You don't want to rely on the built-in microphone on the laptop. You want something that's going to be solid and represent you in person over Zoom calls and Teams meetings and stuff like that. Next up, proper lighting. And, you know, I can't recommend that enough. A well-lit space is going to keep your energy up. You need to make sure you're accounting for making sure your video calls look sharp. And I'm going to say natural light and probably multiple desk lamps, multiple options. In my office, I have a nice size window. I have four separate lamps in here just to light the room differently with different amounts. I've got a smart home, so I'll tell you, I take advantage of that. So I can adjust the coloring, the white balance of the coloring, so I can make it look warm. I can make it look that cool white, and it all depends on what the light is that's coming in through the window. And I can kind of balance a lot of that out. So think about color-changing lights, especially like at night. You want to have that warm glow in your office area. Next up, storage solutions. You want to make sure you've got space to put things. You want to keep your workspace tidy. So you don't want to have like 20 pens out on your desk. You want to have a place to put those pens. Yes, a pen jar, but drawers. And one of the things I've done, I got a tool cabinet on wheels, and I keep a lot of my tools in there, but I keep a lot of my other desk accessories in that. It gives me a nice place to put it. It gives me a good storage space. I also have file cabinets and stuff like that. All of this to sort things out, to make sure that I am working to be less cluttered, less all over the place. And that is really key there. Last up, you want to make sure that you have a lot of personal touches. The more you've got a personal touch, the more you are away from that minimalistic, sterile environment and into something that you want to live in, that means it's going to be easier for you when you want to work. Oh, I don't want to go upstairs into that cold white office with the white walls and the basic plastic fold desks, like I mentioned a few minutes ago. You want to get a nice set of color around you, calming colors. I've got Computer Talk Radio Blue is what I've got in my office. Just a nice pale blue, and I have a number of things in my office that kind of make me comfortable. I've got sound panels to reduce the echo in the room, and these sound panels are decorative. They have one of those has a spaceman. There's another a space picture. There's planets and moons and things like that all around. It's got kind of that tech kind of feel for me. Whatever it is that you're going to do, spend a little bit of money in getting that nice little personalized touch and design in your office. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. Keith Emcedor joins me now. And what do you have for us this week?
Well, Benjamin, I would like to talk to you and all of our listeners about the virtues of purchasing a used Mac if buying a new Mac is not necessarily in one's budget. And I say this only because, you know, we've talked in the past about, oh, if buying a brand new Mac isn't your budget, you go to Apple's refurb store and you can get, you know, X percent off of a semi-new, almost new, like new Mac. But the reality of it is that there are a lot of good Macs that are still usable and have a good amount or at least a fair amount of life left in them that are on the used market. And if you know how to shop for them, you can get a good deal.
So I talked about this kind of concept recently.
Okay.
And one of my biggest concerns is, you know, we figure 5 years as a lifetime, and it doesn't matter whether you're planning, you as a listener, you're planning on 5 years or 6 years or 7 years. But I like to think of it as, if I am planning for 5 years on that Mac and the Mac is 3 years old, it should be going for 40% of the original cost.
And I'm not even
I'm okay with a little wiggle room, But I sometimes will see people who will, they'll offer up a five-year-old Mac at 20% off of list value. For a brand new one. And I choke at that. I'm like, oh, come on.
Those people are just silly. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you don't have the budget. You want to get a good Mac that's really, really well configured, but you don't have the budget to buy a custom spec $3,000 Mac, whether it's a laptop or a desktop. You know, you want something, you don't want one of Apple's off the shelf at the Apple store or off the shelf at Best Buy configurations with a middle of the road processor and, you know, the bare minimum of memory and the least amount of storage. You know, these are the machines that really, really tank hard in their value and their long-term usability. What do I mean? Well, any of our listeners to this, to the Computer Talk Radio broadcast know that we also do a bunch of podcasts, and I edit those podcasts. I edit those podcasts, Benjamin, on a here we are in 2024. I do my editing, and don't get me wrong, I have a newer machine for day-to-day stuff. I do my editing on a 2011 MacBook Pro, but that MacBook Pro has the fastest i7 processor, not the middle of the road i5 processor you can get a dime a dozen, and it doesn't have a bare bones 4 gigabytes or 8 gigabytes of RAM. It's got 16 gigabytes of RAM, and it doesn't have the hard drive that it came with. I've got a 4 terabyte SSD in that thing, and here we are a decade plus later, and that thing screams for the software that I run on it. And that's really what I want to talk about. If you're looking for really being able to say, I'd love to get a really good quality Mac, but I've only got $400 or $500 to play with, don't look at machines that have an i5 processor. Don't look at machines that only have 8 gigabytes of RAM. Because if you can find a machine and the seller is really documenting it with pictures, and you can see that it's not all scratched up, banged up, but it's got 16 gigabytes or more of memory, and it's got an i7, or maybe even you get really lucky, find one with an i9 processor, and it's got one of the models that has a removable storage drive, when you can swap out very easily just by removing some screws, you swap out the drive from something that's, it came with a 256 or 512 gigabyte hard drive, and you put in a 1 or 2 terabyte SSD, all of a sudden you find you're getting yourself a machine for $300 to $500, depending upon how it's equipped. And you could probably get a year or two out of that machine without spending what it would cost to go buy a brand new machine.
Sure.
I mean, I'll give you a really good example. I'm trying to sell a used 2016 MacBook Pro right now, and it's got an i7 processor, a 3.3 gigahertz. That was the top of the line for that.
Sure.
With 16 gigs of RAM soldered to the logic board and a really good amount of storage.
Okay.
And the one question everybody keeps asking, what year? Don't worry about the year.
Okay.
It's got a lot of memory and a powerful processor, and it's really clean. And the battery, let's talk about the battery. The battery cycles are low, or maybe the seller replaced the battery within the last year. You should get upwards to 1,000 charging cycles out of a lithium ion or lithium polymer battery. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's a 2016 machine I'm selling, but I replaced the battery last year, and out of the 1,000 charging cycles, there's only 82 charging cycles on the clock.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so I got people going, I got $200. I'll give you $200 for it. But you need another $200 for it because I'm asking $400 for it. But yeah, I realize it's older. But when shopping for these, look at the quality that it's in and how it's spent.
Yeah. And you're not charging, you're not charging the $1,500 that would be, or actually that's probably what a $2,500 list price? to replace?
When new is about $2,800.
There you go. So you've priced that at a reasonable price point for the power that it's going to be putting out and so forth in the memory and all of that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And because, the upgrades. I mean,
even if you don't go with the latest operating system, you could probably run. I mean, you could probably run the latest operating system, but you could still run within two or three versions of it,
sure,
and still be able to download all of the free iLife apps like GarageBand and iMovie and Pages and Numbers and Keynote. And then you're not spending money on Microsoft Office because you're getting the free Apple ones. And you've got all kinds of things you could do with the machine at a substantial savings.
Okay.
But the key to it is, don't just look at the year, look at how it's spec'd, look at the battery, and look at the overall condition of the machine. If somebody babied it, took real good care of it, you could get a deal if it's a little bit older.
There you go. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Sedor.
And you're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
Website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. I'm more than happy to answer any of your computer questions, your technology concerns. Marty Winston joins me now, and you've got this thing written down for me, and it says Soka Toa, which immediately my mind goes to like Sacagawea or some other Native American name. I recall something about this.
I can't wait to see the Soka Toa silver dollar. Come on.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
Well, for those of us who are educated in ancient times.
Yes.
In math class, Soka Toa was a mnemonic, a memory aid. It had to do with trigonometry.
Okay. All right. I never took trig, but okay, go on.
All right. So, S-O-H, sine equals opposite over hypotenuse.
Okay.
C-A-H, cosine equals adjacent over hypotenuse. Toa, T equals O over A, tangent is the opposite over adjacent.
Okay.
And I remember it to this day because once you remember it, you don't want to have wasted that time.
I understand that. Believe me, I understand that.
Well, I thought I was done with trig a long time ago, but in the last few weeks, it has raised its ugly head as I was doing some design exercises that involve figuring out distances and angles. Now, one of them. Imagine you've got a light that might be kind of long and thin.
Okay.
Now, that light going straight out from wherever it's mounted does you only so much good. But what if you wanted to deflect it a little and send it to a new target? Okay. How would you do that? Right? I mean, the easier, you could use a wedge prism, but that would put rainbow lines at the edges. You don't want to do that.
Right. Okay.
How about a mirror? Let's stay with the old technology. How about a mirror?
Yeah, yeah.
But what angle do you put the mirror at? How do you figure that out if you don't actually have everything there plus a protractor with a third person to measure it? And then you recreated and found out somebody got something wrong. Those things happen. So I was looking for a way to use trigonometry, and I got a lot of stuff wrong on my first 20 or 30 or 40 passes.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I also had tried to figure out
was
something.
This because you were using a slide rule?
Slide rules are firewood now.
Okay.
Except the metal ones.
All right.
And no one knows what a slide rule is. That's okay. You probably don't know what a carousel is for a projector either. We forgive you.
That I do know, yeah.
Well, I had to figure out two things. Number one, I had to figure out the difference in angles at the distance. And it has to do not only with tangents, but with the flip of tangents called arc tangents. Okay. Not that an archangel is a flip of an angel or anything, but in this case, it's how you figure it out. And by the way, if you're doing it in Excel like I did, you go through it two or three times before you remember, whoops, Excel works in radians and I'm working in degrees. So that left us to figure out not only the angle that needed to change, but what that means for the mirror angle, mirrors. Mirrors. I remember mirrors in physics class. And what do they teach you? The angle of incidence is equal to the angle of reflection. Mm-hmm. Great. More trig, except no. I tried it three times with trig, and you don't get a good answer that way.
Yeah.
The answer happens when you do straight arithmetic. Uh-huh. So, that was piece number one. Piece number two, trying to figure out for a fixed field of view camera lens and a fixed frame that I wanted to include in the image and a known distance, what that camera angle, lens angle should be.
Okay.
And got that wrong a few times because when you're dealing with frames now, you're usually getting the diagonal measure and you haven't solved it for the height and the width and thereby Excel can lie to you.
Okay.
So trigonometry on that. Then I had a motion sensor, and it had a lens on it that restricts its field of view. And I wanted it to look at a particular person and ignore what was in the background, which motion sensors are inherently not good at. Right?
Yeah.
So that was trig again for trying to figure out the beam of the motion sensor, which has a beam width like a camera lens, and the angle I had mounted at to have it offset by a distance from center. Now, targeting motion sensor, targeting a LiDAR, targeting any other sensor, you can restrict interference by burying it a little bit and putting the walls of the hole around it. So I'm sorry. I'm not going to tell you I'm good at trig. I'm telling you it beat the heck out of me for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I finally beat it back into submission and somehow I figured it out. And I ran it in reverse to test it and it came out with the right origin.
All of that math from way back in high school, all of that just arrived back at your brain.
And middle school, too.
Yeah, okay. All right, there we go. Very cool. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way.
The site ground salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com.
The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, everybody they can. And they will send out all kinds of emails and text messages because they can send out so many of these. And all they need is just a little bit of people to just let down their guard and to walk right on through into the trap. I received one that is absolutely... It's amazing how pitiful this is, but they've got to be having success with this because, yes, they keep doing it. Recently, an unknown device has tried to log into your account, and then my email address. And it comes from customer service PayPal. Okay, that's a little weird. And then support at, and then it gives it, a website in India. It's not a PayPal address. It's from India. But it goes on and it is poorly written. The opening paragraph, recently an unknown device has tried to log into your account, period. Dear customer. All right, for starters, almost every account that you have some kind of a relationship, whether we're talking about Venmo or PayPal, your bank, whoever it is, they know who you are. They're not going to open up with dear customer. They're also not going to open up with kind of that scare tactic up front. Usually it'll be something along the lines of buried deeper in. They'll say, dear Benjamin, recently, something has happened, whatever it is. But the wording there, recently, an unknown device has tried to log into your account, and we have locked your account for security reasons. So that's not really how the English language works. It's not as professional as most of the other things I receive from Venmo and PayPal and whoever else. And they go through and they scare you. They tell you in this email, they tell me my account is locked to protect my information and from online fraud. Let me say that again. For the moment, your account is locked to protect your information and from online fraud. That's not even a real sentence if you think about it. What do I need to do? Oh, you just need to log into your account and follow a few on-screen instructions to unlock your account. Simply log into the account below and help us restore your account. And yes, of course, the link goes off to some other website, not PayPal, and has so much in it that is just obfuscated, just set up in a weird way in that link. The copyright also, 2022. Look, if you think you've got an email in front of you that just doesn't look right, it doesn't feel right, don't click through. If you're at all concerned, abandon that email. Go directly to the account. Go directly to whatever account they're calling out and check into it. See if your account is locked. See if there are problems. And see what your resolution opportunities and options are. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.
Before you shoot your computer, give Benjamin Rockwell a call. Keeping your technology running smoothly, here's Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD. 888. That's 888-6373. 888. We are radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact all of our lives. Steve Keske joins me now. And Steve, you're going to tell me a joke?
Well, the robot was, but, you know, he's not here in the moment.
Okay. So I understand, actually, this is kind of a lead in to the thoughts of artificial intelligence delivering on music, delivering on lyrics, delivering on comedy.
Yeah. Or so they say.
Who says that?
I was watching a program and they had a robot up there that was supposed to be doing a stand-up comedy routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
I'm not sure how it could. I mean, yeah, it could do, you know, there was a lot of accusations thrown around when I was growing up about comedians stealing each other's jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew sometimes the punchlines for the jokes because, yes, you had heard a different comedian tell that exact same joke. Yes. Yeah. And ChatGPT, and therefore a lot of the different large language models could potentially repeat back one of those jokes, perhaps a joke you had never heard before, and maybe do a slight modification on it.
Yeah.
But to come up with original humor, I don't think we are going to arrive there for quite a long time.
No. Well, they had this robot up there and he was trying to do this and they were talking about the feedback that the robot was getting from the audience when the audience didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his delivery was not that impressive, I'll tell you.
Why did the chicken
cross the road?
Yes. Because the cat had a laser pointer.
But, yes. yeah. You know, it's all of those kinds of innovations that they're trying to come up with.
Yeah.
But AI is not really, to me, AI until the computer writes its own jokes.
Yeah. Agreed. As a matter of fact, the joke I just told was backwards.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how many people caught that when I did that. I intentionally did it as if it were AI telling it because it doesn't work as well that way.
No.
Cats chase laser pointers. Chickens do not. Yeah. But anyways, so we have to be aware of the comedic elements. We have to be aware of the deeper portions of these different quips and witticisms that are thrown out, and AI does not get deep. It repeats what it knows, and it can modify things, and it can extrapolate certain things, but not when we're talking about diving into how you or I feel or think or any of that.
I mean, how many times have you seen in a movie or going to a stage show and the Stand-up comedy comedian is standing there, and he'll turn to somebody in the audience, and he'll make a comment.
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
But the robot can't do that because the robot can't see the person and how they react to that kind of comment.
And they can't decipher some of the different things. A comedian can make a joke at the expense of one of the audience members.
Oh, yeah.
And realize, oh, hey, I can see by the look on your face, I went a little too far. My apologies for that.
Yeah.
Or at least spin it a different way so it doesn't sound so deep, dark, and biting and all of that.
And nasty.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of that combined together.
Yeah.
Trying to tell a joke is not that simple. There are a lot of people in this world, and according to some people, I'm one of them. They can't tell a good joke.
Okay.
And that's probably true.
All right.
Because I'm thinking of the joke beforehand, and then when my delivery comes along, it doesn't follow the same way as I heard it.
Sure. Sure. And I know that I can do a lot of dad jokes. I can do a lot of puns. But when I stretch outside of that realm, I start to fall apart as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, saying a joke about you is so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have so much fun telling a joke about me.
Yes. You and I do banter back and forth.
Yeah, it's really good, you know, and we're not doing it for the audience that's listening to the show as much as it is that we're doing it for each other.
Sure. Yeah.
And that makes a big difference.
The deeper aspect of this is very related to what we've been talking about, and that is music itself. And I'll tell you, I go back a long way. I've heard early electronic music that was put together by computers back in the 60s, and to call it experimental is really an insult to anyone who makes and does legitimate experiments. That's how bad it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Moog synthesizer was just, you know, really weird.
So I love the sounds. I love the sounds that some of these were able to put out. And we can look back at some of the different uses of the Moog synthesizer or many of the other synthesizers, Kurzweil and whatnot, over the years. And they came up with very amazing, unique sounds that we had never had before. But when the computer gets in there and decides, hey, this is going to be a pleasing sound, this is going to be a pleasing set of notes, it doesn't work because it doesn't have the feeling. It doesn't have the life in it.
The emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I could best equate them to three jazz bands that are being recorded at once, but not able to hear any of the other two bands. It was cacophony is what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
I mean, you know,
why'd you do this? Yeah. But I think we're still at that point. Yeah. We can have AI, and people have done this. AI can produce a series of notes and a short riff based off of mathematical calculations of what many other people have done. So there's a lot of different chord progressions, and they can use a common chord progression, and then they can analyze that chord progression and be programmed to come up with these things. But we're talking about a far greater amount of programming that can't be... that can't really be called artificial intelligence.
No. The programming takes a whole lot of more of computing power than the average computer has.
Yeah. And then let's talk about lyrics.
Oh, yes.
How could anyone write lyrics without having, I mean, okay, so AI has a distinct advantage as far as knowing a number of words and being able to instantly pull up words that rhyme. But are they going to have the right length to them? Are they going to have the right intonation? Are they going to have the right emotive feelings behind them to, let's say, write a love song? How can we have a love song written by a robot that cannot feel love?
That's it. And the other thing is there's this thing in musical lyrics as well as in poetry, and it's called the meter. It's how many syllables do you have in per line and with a rhyme on the end?
Yeah.
And you, when you really sit down and start looking at the lyrics of certain songs, you're saying they're all got the same number of syllables in it, even though the words are different, syllables are the same.
Yeah.
And that could be put into calculation, but is there going to be any emotion to it?
Yeah.
And that is the drawback.
Very true. As for now, we've run out of time. That's Steve Keske. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. computertalkradio.com. Michael's question, how can I enhance the gaming performance on my PC? Michael reached out to me at computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. You can do it as well, and I will answer your questions. Now, in Michael's case, and actually, I'm going to bring this out to everybody. Look, for everybody, there are things to be aware of in regards to enhancing the performance on your computer. A couple of these items will get a little bit more specific for gaming performances, but it's something to be aware of. Let's talk about this. Look, when we're trying to improve performance on a computer, whether it's for gaming, applications, or the internet, or whatever it is we're doing, it's like fine-tuning a race car. And there are very small adjustments we can make along the way. And each of these will lead to better speed, better handling, better just performance altogether. And we can throw a lot of different things in this direction. And not everything that I'm going to list off is going to be a must-have. Not everything I'm going to mention is going to be the ultimate solution. Oh, I just have to do this one thing and everything is beautiful. All rainbows and wonderful. No, it doesn't work like that. So, first off, for games specifically, there are frequently in-game settings that can be adjusted. You can drop the graphics down, the graphics settings, the quality of the graphics, but then you get a smoother performance. A lot of video games have a slider which basically says, do you want it to look more realistic or more smooth? Do you want it? And they vary in the names for this. It's a balance there, and you've got to think about that, and you have to think, okay, I can give up a little bit to get that better frame rate. I can do this and that, and there's sometimes a number of these, but this also exists in some of the drivers, especially if you have some gaming drivers that are out there. And you've got to go through and you've got to make sure that your driver settings are balanced as well. You also want to make sure that your drivers are updated. Your graphics drivers, your GPU drivers are crucial for making sure that you have the best compatibility, but also the best reliability. It's interesting because we will release drivers. We'll see in the industry, they'll release drivers for sound cards once every 6 months to 8 months, maybe a year. And drivers for motherboards, similar kind of thing. Hard drives, similar kind of thing. For video cards, your regular premium stable, this is the driver that is going to be released monthly. But then they have additional, more aggressive, not beta versions, but yet still beta versions, public beta, and they'll release those every week or so. And then you've got the latest and greatest, and those, some of those are released daily, and they're constantly doing a lot of different tweaks. This is just an ongoing industry thing, and you may wind up introducing some little quirks, some bugs, if you go for some of those more aggressive drivers. I will tell you, though, frequently, that actually will do something for you. So if you haven't updated your video drivers in, I don't know, we'll say in the last 6 months, you've got a lot of updating to do. Next up, for gaming or actually for anything, if you've got a number of background applications that are open and running, you need to free up those resources. You need to shut down anything that's not really necessary before you're diving into gaming. But we also apply this to things like, okay, you're doing video editing. Yeah, definitely. You're working with databases, heavy, big, huge databases. Yeah, shut down a lot of those other things you've got going on. And that will free up both your memory, but also if you've got a low amount of memory, that'll actually free up a little bit of what's called caching, where it dumps some of this out to your hard drive. And you may have an SSD, but that SSD is still going to be slower, a lot slower than your active memory. Here's something else to consider too. If you have a low amount of memory in your system, throwing memory into a system, the cost of this goes up and down all the time, but generally it is a nice inexpensive way to get better performance out of your computer. Next up, you want to keep an eye on the temperatures of your CPU and your GPU, actually all of the temperatures throughout your system. There's a program I recommend. It's available out there, SPECCY, and Specky is absolutely wonderful. It gives a lot of different data in regards to what your computer is doing, what your computer has. So when I look at Specky, I can see that I have whatever version of Windows I'm running. I can see that I have a particular version of the CPU, of the RAM, of the motherboard. It'll go through, this is what your graphics card is, how much storage you have. But along with all of that, how hot is it running? And you've got to look at what the optimal speeds are that you can get out of your system, but also what are the optimal temperatures to get out of your system. And sometimes you can get away with a little bit more. Sometimes you might find that you're already running up against that amount. I will tell you, 80 degrees Celsius is kind of this number that's floated around. It seems kind of hot. It is very hot to the touch. I just checked my system just now, and all of my different temperatures were 110 was the highest one for the CPU. I've got some CPU load going right now, but everything else was down in the 80s and 90s. So very nice temperatures there. There is something for people who are really into tweaking their computer to get the best out of it. It's something I don't recommend as much anymore. It's called overclocking, and you can update how much speed your CPU and your GPU are putting out. You are going to heat them up more, and for that, you're going to have to keep an eye on those temperatures. You may want to get a dedicated app instead of using something like Speccy. Look, just as small tweaks can make a race car faster, these adjustments are just a few of what can help elevate your experience, your computing experience, your gaming experience, all of that. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Website computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. Christmas is around the corner, and yeah, I know some people, everybody's planning ahead, but some people are going to have to work with lean budgets. This is something that happens every year. And even when we start tallying up everything, even if you've got a larger budget, you still have a budget. You're still trying to frame all of this. And anytime you start getting into a budget situation, you start looking for a lot of good deals. And when that happens, you start opening yourself up to being prey for the bad guys. Look, I want you to take note of some of these different tips that I'm going to give over the course of the next few minutes. I want you to be able to protect yourself all the way along. The easy ones, don't purchase from spam. Don't purchase from a pop-up or an ad from someone you don't know. Don't go to these various Facebook reels or Instagram videos or anything like that. TikTok, wherever it is, it doesn't matter. Do not purchase something, no matter how good of a deal it sounds. Don't purchase it from some company that you're not really aware of, period. Amazon, Walmart, those are perfectly fine. But Tommy's Totally Tremendous Toy Store. What? No. Okay, so let's go through a few different things along the way. First off, I want you to protect yourself prior to shopping online. I want to make sure that you have your anti-malware scanner on. I want you to make sure whether, and I don't care if you're using any of the big names like Symantec or Trend Micro or McAfee, even Windows Defender is fine. Look, utilize what you've got. Next up, I want to make sure that you've patched your computer. Make sure that it's up to date. And you want to make sure that you're checking that you are logging on to, yes, secure websites. Almost everybody has a secure website these days, so you should be good here. Just be aware of these things. Next up, I want you to be careful about those items that just seem too good to be true. You're not going to get a free computer, a free iPad, a free flat screen TV just by answering a few silly questions. So don't even waste your time on anything that says, hey, we want you to answer a bunch of questions and you get all drawn into something that's never going to deliver on this. So you need to also think about the ratings of everything that you're purchasing. And I don't care where you're purchasing it from. There's usually ratings. There's going to be ratings on Amazon. You look across those products and some of them have 2 stars. Some of them have near 5 stars. And the same thing goes with a lot of different purchasing places you go. People buy gifts on eBay, and that's an interesting place to go. Make sure that the seller is a trusted seller. They've been around for a while. They've got a lot of good ratings. And yes, by all means, check out any of the various guides that are out there to avoid a scam. Also, do not use any kind of unknown payment method. Okay, so Amazon's easy. On eBay, you want to make sure you're sticking with PayPal. If you're doing something through a Facebook marketplace, you for whatever reason you're trusting them, make sure that you are utilizing one of those secure methods. I'm really going to try to steer you away from anything that is being advertised on Facebook Marketplace, but I know people, they find things and they find, just wonderful gifts that somehow have wound up there. By all means, try to stick with reputable sites, reputable sellers, and that's really the key thing. But even still, reputable sites need you to be aware of the fine print, the various sales gimmicks that are out there. Yes, we've got gimmick sales. We see this all the time, especially around this time of year. They'll post something. You'll see an ad. Hey, we've got this. And there, you find out the little fine print says only 1 unit at this price. You also need to watch out for items that might have been returned. I've got a store that I've purchased new $100, $200 items that I found out in the parking lot. Not only was used, but abused. So you have to be very careful about this. You want new product when you're giving a gift. So there you go. Another thing that seems to be a big drain on our budget is the extended warranty. Look, warranty on many items is useless these days. 3 years from now, that laptop can be replaced for 30% less than twice the power. Don't even think about a warranty on a laptop or most things over about, I'm going to say about 10% of the price. There's some exceptions in there. Think about it like AppleCare. AppleCare is okay. A lot of other warranties out there, you've got to be careful about them. You've got to remember that a lot of these warranty companies, well, yes, a lot of warranty companies are making money hand over fist, but a number of warranty companies recently have been denying claims, or they've put such onerous requirements on those claims that it's not worth the headache. You also have to think about, you know, the companies that are no longer around, you know, like we've got the idea of what Sharper Image. Okay, they had warranties on their products. Sharper Image is no longer around. And there are other companies that are no longer around. Sometimes the warranty just is not worth the paper that's written on. What about rebates? Yeah, skip by the rebates. Think about the idea that you're spending extra money to deal with a rebate, which, yeah, that's not a good idea. Also, some companies, they've got services that they'll throw in on top of the purchase. I have a friend who purchased a laptop a couple of years back, and they charged him for the laptop, but then they also wanted to charge him for removing bloatware. They wanted to charge him for creating the recovery disks. They wanted to charge him for installing other applications to, quote-unquote, make his computer run better. This is a lot of add-ons that don't cost them a whole lot. Everything there can be done by the person who is the purchaser or the gift recipient for far less. Stick with the product itself. Stick with what you can. There's just a few different holiday shopping tips I've got for you. The best thing I can say is buyer beware. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting, archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and a lot of what is going on out there. There are a lot of people that have been afraid of the term AI, artificial intelligence. It's going to take our jobs. It's going to put us all on the unemployment lines. It's going to just disrupt everything. Well, it's been around for a while. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is a disruptor, but it is also right in there with every other bit of technology that we've encountered over the centuries. There have been constant disruptions. The idea of computers in the workplace, the idea of motorized vehicles, the idea of the printed word. Yeah. Just imagine, in the 1400s, people were writing down everything by hand. And today, we type everything. I will tell you that I have seen all kinds of different advances over the years in the computing field, where we went from a few people had computers in the back when I first started, a matter of, yes, there were a few computers in the offices. And now, today, almost every single employee has to spend a good amount of time on a computer, no matter what industry we're talking about. You're making widgets. You are working. I'll tell you, I was working for an aerospace company, and we had a lot of people that were writing down their information on pieces of paper, and they were passing those around the entire plant, and they went along with all of the different pieces of metal and everything like that. But then we moved into computers. So every single employee had to be trained on those computers. They had to enter in the information, and sometimes it was pretty simple. It was just scanning a barcode, and then you'd hit a couple of keys, and then you'd go back to building the aerospace widget. Okay, so AI is simply another tool that's coming along. So I don't want you to be afraid of it. I don't think it's going to be the wonderful cure-all that every business seems to be thinking it is. But then again, computers weren't either. They shifted work around. They shifted how we treat work. They shifted a lot of different things around about how those widgets moved through the factory. But did they change a lot of the jobs? No. So AI is going to have an impact on us. AI is going to have an impact on employment over the course of the coming decades, but not like what you think. Now, there are things that all of us need to be working on. We all need to be planning ahead for our future with technology. And what does that mean? What does that really mean for everyone of us who is in the workplace? First off, I cannot stress enough that you need to learn to become adaptable. You need to adapt to this. You need to accept all of these different things. Don't fight them. You need to be willing to learn. You need to be willing to just add on little minor changes to your work environment and just progress with it. Anybody who resists, anybody who fights back against AI is going to be left behind. One of the first things I did as soon as I could utilize AI was I dove in and I learned it. I learned that it's just like using Google. It's just like utilizing most any other application that's out there. You go, you ask it a question. Sometimes it's going to get the answer wrong. Not so much because it's wrong, but because you did not ask the question in the form that it was looking for to give you the right answer. It will give you all kinds of access to information. It will give you all kinds of tidbits and information that you did not expect. You have to constrain it. You have to let it loose. You have to balance your entire entry when you're dealing with AI to make sure that you get the results that you want. But first and foremost, you need to be adaptable. You need to learn. All right, next up is developing your skill with AI. And look, you can go on out to ChatGPT or any one of the 100 other, thousands of other limited language models that are out there. Okay, there are so many of these out there that you can tinker with them and you can play with them. But once you've learned a few of them, they all pretty much work the same. You need to learn that. You need to develop that skill with AI. We all do. And if you have to, yes, go on out, find it, find some kind of video on how to utilize ChatGPT prompts or whatever it is, you know, the Microsoft Copilot, or it doesn't matter what it is. You're learning how to use these prompts. You're learning how to move forward. You can do this with YouTube videos. There are workshops out there. There are online courses and certifications that are going to help you bridge any kind of experience and knowledge gap that may be out there. And then I'm going to throw one more at you just to make sure that you're following the normal route. That is networking. Get together with people who are doing this. Get together with people who are looking to improve themselves, looking towards the future, looking towards making their job easier. Whether this is in your workplace, whether this is in your friend group, or you're looking outside of your friends and you're just joining up with these other folks that are learning about AI, all of this is going to help you. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com, for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Isabel reached out to me, and she with her mother on the phone. And she reached out to me at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. She was doing a paper for school in regards to the role of women in the early development of computing. And I will tell you, first off, great, great topic to cover. And there are so many different women that really were there throughout the history of all of this computing that we are in now. Probably one of the biggest things to start off with, if you aren't aware of it, the movie Hidden Figures is a fictionalized approach to what was the start of a number of women who worked as human computers for NASA, and they actually played a very integral part in the space race. And these women changed a lot. There were a few of them that were associated with this. Katherine Johnson, Mary Jackson, Dorothy Vaughn. And Dorothy Vaughn was played by Octavia Spencer in the movie. And there's a lot about this woman. If you start doing a deeper dive into who she was, she taught herself Fortran. That was the programming language that was big back in those days. She then taught her staff, and later on, she became the head of the programming section at Langley. So this is a woman who was instrumental in moving our space race forward, but also our computing forward, and also just the idea of women in the workplace being thought of as more than just someone to bring coffee and take notes. Ada Lovelace, she's actually considered the first computer programmer. She wrote an algorithm for Charles Babbage's early mechanical computer in the 1840s. And then there's Admiral Grace Hopper. And she was a pioneer in developing computer languages. She helped create COBOL and invented the first compiler. She was definitely somebody who really helped move things forward. And then we start talking about there's a group called the ENIAC women, and they programmed the ENIAC, which is one of the earliest computers, and they were instrumental in that success there. Margaret Hamilton is another one who developed a lot of the software for the Apollo missions, and her work was crucial to making sure that we got to the moon, that we were able to do everything that we did there, and got everybody back. Look, the impact of women on our world is always amazing. And we can look through all different aspects of technology and computing, even though sometimes they're overlooked in historical accounts. It's up to us to really look for ways to bring their world forward. So, Isabel, I commend you. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.